And it has now been confirmed that the CRS-17 cargo resupply mission to the International Space Station that we've just been hearing about has been delayed. The delay has been caused by a power system glitch aboard the space station. This has affected the Canada Arm 2 manipulator arm that is needed to grapple the Dragon spacecraft and berth it to the space station. The new launch time is on Friday afternoon at 11 past 5 Australian Eastern Time. NASA's Orbiting Carbon Observatory No. 3 is part of the cargo to be delivered to the station. This instrument was built from spare parts left over from the second orbiting carbon observatory, OCO 2. This was placed into orbit in 2014. It has made important contributions to carbon budget science. For example, OCO 2 has been used to spot carbon dioxide variations across megacities and even to quantify fossil fuel emissions from individual power plants. And just a reminder that 70% of fossil fuel emissions comes from large cities. This feature from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory describes the Orbiting Carbon Observatory project.
Since about the start of the Industrial Revolution, we've seen CO2 levels in the atmosphere increase by about 30%. Human activity is causing a tipping of the scales, this very fine, delicate balance that we have and what we call the carbon cycle here.
The key motivation for the OCO3 experiment is to continue this record of carbon dioxide. OCO2 was built the last 2 years. We've had it up there for 4 years, but there's always a risk it's not going to survive. So OCO3 goes on the space station in the spring. We'd like to have measurements that cover a long duration, and OCO3 is going to help add to that record.
OCO3 is going to specifically produce a data set of carbon dioxide measurements. We'd like to be able to keep an eye on this atmospheric CO2. Where did it come from? Where is it going? And how is it related to other global processes?
When plants are doing photosynthesis, they emit a little bit of light, and we can sense that light in our measurements. So we have a measure of plant photosynthesis activity in combination with the carbon dioxide.
Plants use CO2 for growing. They absorb it into the leaves. They invert CO2 and water into sugar that they use to store the energy to grow later. The combination of these measurements tell us about the relationship between this net uptake of CO2 over time and how that is being governed by photosynthesis.
OCO2 measures every day the same time of day. With OCO3 on the space station, we're going to sample from sunlight to sundown. And so now we can learn about carbon cycle through different parts of the day. And that's really important because plants respond to sun, so we need to see them behaving across the day.
Our team designed and built an agile mechanical actuator that allows OCO3 to look at dozens of areas on the globe each day. And each of these areas is about 50 miles by 50 miles in size. So that allows us to actually focus in on specific areas, maybe urban areas, as well as agricultural regions.
This capability of OCO3 to map out some of those areas and start to see some change over time, that really is how we are going to advance our understanding and our modeling for the future and understanding of climate.
There is a precedent for using SpaceX to deliver Earth science observing instruments to the space station. For example, the JEDI instrument was launched on December the 5th last year. No, this has nothing to do with Star Wars. That's JEDI. This is GEDI. Now, before I describe JEDI, let me ask you three questions. What is the carbon balance in the Earth's forests? How will the land surface mitigate atmospheric carbon dioxide in the future? And how does forest structure affect habitat quality and biodiversity? You may well respond by asking why I need to know the answers to these questions. Well, answering these questions is critical for understanding the future path of global climate change and the Earth's biodiversity. If I tasked you with answering these questions, your response might be to head off into the nearest forest and start taking measurements. But whoa. Think how many forests there are in the world. Think how many different types of forests there are. And consider this. To address these science questions, you are going to have to do a number of things. You're going to have to quantify the current state of forest above ground biomass. You'll need to determine the net result of forest disturbance and subsequent recovery. You will assess the potential for carbon sequestration of the land under conditions of changing land use. You will make conclusions about the relationship between forest structure and biodiversity. So perhaps you now envision yourself earning frequent flyer points as you travel the world visiting the planet's forests. When you tire of walking through the world's forests, you may begin to wonder whether there is an easier way. Well, there is. The International Space Station overflies most of the world's forests every day. Believe it or not, if suitable instruments were mounted on the station, these questions could be answered quite readily. And that is the aim of the Global Ecosystem Dynamics Investigation, otherwise known by its acronym, GEDI, JEDI. In late 2018, JEDI was placed aboard the Japanese Kibo module of the space station. Now, this instrument is shining a laser beam down to the forest below and measuring the reflected light. Such an instrument is called a LIDAR, which is to light what a radar is to radio. Each LIDAR shot results in a waveform that contains information about vegetation canopy and the topography underneath. Scientists are using this information to quantify canopy vertical structure, canopy height, and elevation. The measurements are being made every 600 meters around the world between latitudes 52 degrees north and 52 degrees south. And JEDI began collecting science data on March the 25th after a period of checkout. To make sure that the satellite data is accurate, there are test sites where ground measurements are being made. So, yes, you'll need to head off into a few forests, but not every forest in the world.